Hey everyone, today I'm joined by Marcus Sheridan. Marcus is an international keynote speaker and best-selling author of They Ask, You Answer. He's also an owner and partner at the agency Impact, where strategies around content marketing and sales are delivered through strategy, implementation, and education. Marcus played a large role in how I learned and delivered content marketing, so I was very excited to see how he thinks things are shifting in the agency space, and this episode very much delivers. So on this episode, we discuss trust as a business currency, AI's impact on content creation, sustainable business models with AI, preserving humanity in AI integration, and more. And in other news, we have a new free email course. It explores some of the biggest problems agencies run into when trying to create a profitable, efficient business, and you can get it at dynamicagencycourse.com. Now, let's get to today's episode with Marcus Sheridan. It's easier than ever to start an agency, but it's only getting harder to stand out and keep it alive. Join me as we explore the strategies agencies are using today to secure a better tomorrow. This is Agency Forward. I think I first heard you speak at Inbound 2019, and I was brand new to the agency game. I'm trying to take everything in. I'd already been exposed to They Ask, You Answer. Since then, a lot has changed just within those 5 years. I think from your part, right, you guys launched an entire coaching program for agencies around They Ask, You Answer. And then I think just by looking at like your LinkedIn, you're probably one of the most outspoken people that I know in regards to talking about like the future of agencies, especially in regards to AI. So I guess my first question for you is, why are you so passionate about this?
Well, I've always been the type, Chris, that simply if I feel it and I see it, then I generally want to talk about it. And I'm not afraid to talk about things that could disrupt my own business model. I don't see that as a bad thing. You know, I think a lot of folks in the agency world right now are pretty similar to the way Kodak was when digital film was beginning. They actually, what people don't realize about the Kodak story is they had every opportunity. They were working on, I'd call it digital film as well, but they just didn't pursue it because they were making too much money on film. And we see since the beginning of time, businesses and civilizations suffer from this thing called the pride cycle. And the pride cycle, to simplify it, is when everything is great, we tend to get lazy and we don't do the little things. And because we don't do the little things, it leads to frustration and eventually suffering and the depths of, hey, I'm going to change. I'm going to take action. And so we start to take action and we start to do the little things again. And as we start to do the little things again, eventually we hit a place of prosperity. And then we hit the prosperity and the cycle starts all over again. That's the pride cycle. And so I'm keenly aware of the pride cycle. I'm always looking for it. And I think agencies had a pretty good run there because, let's be honest, you know, with everything that was happening in the world of marketing, with the world of digital, there's so much ignorance, especially by business owners, that, you know, you could offer a lot of services and get paid pretty well to do things that folks just couldn't do themselves or wouldn't take the time to learn themselves. Those days are coming to an end, and nobody wants to talk about it, which I think is odd. It doesn't really make sense to me that nobody wants to talk about it. We like to say things like, there's this whole idea within the AI world. There's this group of people that will say, AI will not take anyone's job. That is so irresponsible. It is the dumbest statement I've ever heard. I have seen AI take people's job already. It's already happening. So to say AI won't take people's jobs, it's either you're like the ostrich with your head buried 6 feet under, or you're just probably refusing to accept what reality is telling us. And so it's like, why do we deny what's happening around us? Now, one other thing that's important to know about me, Chris, and I don't say this in a braggadocious way. I say it just because it's how I'm wired. And that is, I am the type of person that has always paid attention to patterns and to strategy and to trends. And I tend to notice them, and I tend to predict pretty well, assuming the window is a shorter window and not a long-term window. So I'm not the guy that's going to tell you where we're going to be in 20 years, but I can usually predict pretty well where things are going to be over the next few years, you know, under 10 years, I would say. And I think the agency model, the traditional agency do-it-for-you model, is in incredible trouble. It's under threat.
I would agree entirely. And yeah, not enough people are talking about it, hence the entire premise of this podcast, to be able to get these conversations going. When talking about the pride cycle, right, I'm wondering now, how much is learning AI and getting into this going to lead to that kind of complacency more rapidly, because people aren't necessarily using it to do better work, but to do things just faster?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some agencies that will use AI as a means of saving time, and the quality of the work will suffer. Easy to do, easy to allow to happen, especially if you don't have like religious standards in terms of what is quality and delivery, you know, just of product or experience. At the same time, I do think that if an agency is playing its cards the right way, if they're using AI and really just swimming in it, they're going to deliver a much better product to their client. I think what a lot of agencies really need to become is an AI filter of sorts for their clients. Show me any person that can keep up with the rate of AI product development out there. That person doesn't exist. The only thing that can keep up with AI is AI. That's the only thing that can keep up with. And so because of that, you got all these folks that are like saying, okay, so what you're saying now is I can use a tool that's going to help produce content, let's say for my website. So what should I use? Should I use ChatGPT? Should I use Jasper? Should I use Gemini? Like, where do I go? This is going to be the hard part. So if the agency can be the filter for that and the vessel that trains the company on how to use that, and that helps them, you know, with their just refine, there's going to be a lot of refining needed. You know, any of my like clients right now could go to ChatGPT with the right prompts and could get a really beautiful they ask you answer strategy laid out with an editorial calendar. You can absolutely do that. Now, there's going to be a lot of refining, or a decent amount of refining, that would occur after that. But they can get a lot of the foundation, a lot of the basics. They don't necessarily need my team for that anymore. But there's a big difference between saying, okay, here's a written plan, versus doing the thing and having somebody hold your hand. And when you're getting off track, you know, putting their foot in your tail and saying, hey, let's go, you're doing this wrong, we're not going to allow this to happen. You know, I think agencies need to become, in a lot of ways, accountability partners, coaches, right? And that's why I think the coaching model is one of the few things that is much more built to last. Now, somebody could argue, well, I think ChatGPT or I think AI is going to become a tremendous coach. I think that's probably true. It's probably going to happen. But I'm not going to sit there and just play gloom and doom all day. I'm going to get really busy in the sandbox, and I'm going to try to stay ahead of what the competition is offering. And so that's where I am today. And I think I'm going to evolve this more and more as we go forward. But I think there's always going to be a place for great accountability coaches in business. I definitely think that applies to sales and marketing. I very much think, and I've said for a long time, that agencies need to be much more involved in sales training. I've said it for a long time. And a lot of agencies have never wanted to do that. But I think they're going to need to do that in the future to reach the heights of success that they can and that they should. And so I don't think that you're going to get to the day where, at least in the next 10 years, where sales teams are flocking to use AI as great sales training, sales role plays, et cetera. Could they do it? Yes. Could it be an okay experience? Yes. Is it going to be as magical as a one-to-one experience with a really seasoned sales trainer that can throw curveballs consistently? Probably not. Probably not for 5 to 10 years. So I think there's a big place in that. But I think agencies are going to have to iterate incredibly every 18 to 24 months, just constantly. There's going to be constant iteration as to where you're going. And I definitely don't think most are going to make it. I think a lot of the household names that we know of aren't going to make it. I'm not sure HubSpot's going to make it. I'm not sure HubSpot is going to be around in 10 years. I love HubSpot. HubSpot, I was one of the original users of HubSpot. I've been HubSpot Partner of the Year. I don't know if HubSpot's going to be around in 10 years. I hope they are. I love Dharmesh. I love Brian. I love, you know, what they've done. I love inbound marketing changed my life. It saved my business in so many ways. But, you know, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to. I say the same thing with Salesforce. I'm not sure Salesforce is going to be around in 10 years, at least as we know it. I'm not sure. I think we're going to see a pattern with a lot of these SaaS companies of there's a chance that the ones that make it are the ones that truly build off of AI and not add AI to what they've already built. Because when you have a legacy software, let's call it, right? It means automatically you're holding on to old things, old models, especially compensation models, right? So the idea that some of these SaaS products are going to be, you know, are going to be making, you know, $50,000 a year in reoccurring revenue, I don't think is very realistic per se. I just don't really believe that's going to be the case. I think some amazing all-in-one tools are probably going to come out in the course of time. Mm-hmm. I could be really, really wrong about that one, but it wouldn't shock me whatsoever. So I'm paying attention to it and I'm open to it. You see, I'm able to talk about that knowing that I love HubSpot and I hope they're built to last. The two things can exist at the same time. I can want them to be built to last and do really, really well. And also think, you know what? There's a chance that the product doesn't exist in 10 years.
Right. So, yeah, I want to go back to a couple of the things you said first. So I used a business accountability AI coach to try it out, Wave AI, like $20 a month. You put in everything you're trying to do, right? And then you're going to get that accountability. And what I realized was even though it was giving me sound advice, it couldn't hold me accountable to anything. So I didn't care whether a computer was, you know, or this algorithm was like doing anything. Like its opinion didn't matter to me versus the way a human would. And even if you're bringing in an agency where you're paying them money and now you have to go to someone, look them in the eyes and say, I didn't do everything that we said we would, right? There's like another layer that goes in there. And then just to kind of further on this, the something else you had mentioned about just patterns, mm-hmm. right? Being able to see the patterns. I think an expert is someone who sees the patterns faster than anyone else. And so even if we do have all of these prompts and the right, you know, structure for someone to be able to, you know, for example, use they ask you answer, have it spit out a strategy, they won't necessarily know if it's the right strategy and they have to go into that refinement. Right. And having that accountability coach now speeds up the actual process of learning and doing all of that. And so I guess my question after all of that is like, how would you recommend we kind of maintain that humanity that's needed in order for AI to be successful?
Well, when I think about humanity, I think a lot about the nuances of communication that make us who we are. And oftentimes they're imperfect nuances, right? I think where AI is going to get very good is they're going to learn to be imperfect. And I would expect, let me give you an example. I would think certainly within 2 years at the latest, I will have on, let's say, my swimming pool website on River Pools, I think I'll have a synthetic version of an employee that is the chatbot, that you'll be able to engage with that person when you get to the website and talk to him or her, it exactly as if you were talking to a salesperson in your living room. I think it's going to feel the same. I think it's going to look the same. It might, in 2 years, it might not have quite the same nuance, but I think it's going to be a very human experience. But it's not going to be a human that you're talking to. So how do we maintain the humanity with this? I don't really know. Some people would say that's not very human. I would say that it is. I'm more than happy to have people all over the world engaging from synthetic Marcus, helping them with, let's say, a content strategy or some type of communication technique, right? That's my thing, right? Communication, content, it's all the same thing. Mm-hmm. Connection, trust, right? It's my thing. So I don't think the majority of people in the world would have any issues with that. And in fact, I think there's going to be this whole genre of new thought leadership that we're going to see. So, you know, you have software as a service, you're going to have thought leadership as a service. So, you know, you can subscribe to Synthetic Marcus, you talk to me, and you're basically tapping into everything that I've ever said, ever written, which is a ton of crap online. I mean, it's just a ton of stuff. And that's giving you feedback and it's having legitimate conversation with you. And if it's outside of my scope, ideally Synthetic Marcus is going to tell you that. You know, I just don't know the answer to that, which is very possible, right? Which is very possible. But I see that being the case. I see that being a pretty strong business model, a whole genre of revenue opportunity for thought leaders around the world. And that could be agencies too, but much more so with thought leadership, which is why brand matters, you know, so very much. And we're getting to that place of, you know, brand being just more important than it's ever been. I don't think most people, and we're talking about AI, and I know I'm rambling a little bit, so forgive me, Chris, but it's like, I don't think most companies and most individuals, even though they've been using the word brand probably for years, they're not going to truly get it until AI starts to take everything away from them. And currently, most AI, there's exceptions, but most AI usage is about creation much more so than recommendation. But the time is coming when it's going to be just as much about recommendation. So it's, you know, it's going to get to the point where instead of so much of what somebody does on Google in that buyer's journey occurring in terms of how they learn and how they vet, they're going to learn the majority through AI. They're not going to interface with a website. They're going to get recommendations through AI, not going to interface with a website. And then they'll interface with the website probably before they reach out to the company. And what's going to dictate whether or not they're able to attract that person in so many ways is brand and how they were able to build an exceptional brand. That's why I'm thinking way more about social media right now than I ever was brand. I'm thinking way more about YouTube and just video, even though I've been thinking about it and preaching it and like beating that stinking drum like crazy for a solid 10 years, thinking way more about it. Mm-hmm. You have to prepare yourself for a world where search engines as we know it don't exist. And the buyer's journey as we know it, at least as we've known it for 25 years now. Since roughly 2000, people have been super, super active learning about products and services online and using Google and whatnot, right? And so that's going to be just a fundamental shift. And this is why an agency that's offering SEO services, I think you can offer SEO services for a few more years, but not after that. Not after that. I don't think you're going to be able to sustain it. I just think there's going to be too many free tools and less and less traction just from a Google perspective, generally speaking, for that. And so I don't think the whole, I mean, what percentage of agencies right now are doing search, you know, in SEO and things like that. And then you look at it like, okay, what's the other major offering of agencies out there? Well, it's some type of paid advertising, right? Some type of paid advertising on Google or, you know, on some type of social media or whatever. But if we're being really honest, what type of future does paid advertising have? Now, I don't think it's a very strong one. First of all, I think there's going to be plenty of AI tools that would, you know, allow me to say, okay, I want to do something, you know, with, let's say, Google Ads, and, you know, tell me everything I need to know. And then all of a sudden the tool says, okay, so what's your budget? How many leads do you need? Da 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 da. And it just boom, boom, it spits it all out and it does it all for you. And then you can connect it right to your, let's say, whatever you're using, but let's call it AdWords for now or whatever it is, Google Ads or whatever. And it can even set it up for you potentially. But I don't even see that as having a sustainable future, because that'll have a season until search really just doesn't, it just doesn't really happen anymore, at least not to the degree that we think it's, that we think it's going to happen. And I think that's the, maybe the most interesting question is, how do these companies make money? How does ChatGPT outside of subscription make money? Right? We know how Google makes money. We know how YouTube makes money. We know how social media makes money. But what happens when that entire model is potentially flipped on its head? Social can continue to do what it does because people are going to go to the platform. But when it comes to regular searching for information in the buyer's journey, that is the part that I think is going to change so dramatically. And so going back to the agencies, now all of a sudden we say, okay, SEO services probably not really existing so much in 5 to 10 years. Paid advertising probably not existing so much in 5 to 10 years when search, for the most part, isn't really happening. Maybe they can still have a run on social media, but that is unless AI tools are doing it for you at a much, 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 much cheaper and more effective rate. So where do agencies come into play here?
I think it's with the recommendation side of being able to feed those recommendations and create the brand.
That's what I think. I think you better be freaking great at training your clients how to use AI so as to improve their sales and marketing efforts.
Yeah, and a couple of pieces. So, I mean, talking like a virtual sales rep on your site, I mean, that does entirely revolutionize the sales process just on its own, right? When I have a rep you can go talk to and there's no time pressure that a sales rep has 30 minutes on a call with you, right? And they're trying to advance the sale. And so even though they're trying to feed you information and they're trying to really discover those pain points and work through that, there's like a finite amount of time that they're going to be actually with you, working with you. First, being able to talk to this virtual rep that you just have the conversation collected.
Dude, if you use AIR.AI right now, AIR.AI, anybody that's ever used that, it'll blow your freaking mind. It will blow your mind in terms of already sounding like a virtual sales rep and you interacting with it and feeling like I'm interacting with a human. It can fool, it can fool you right now. That's in 2024. Where's it going to be in 2026?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now what's nuts is a lot of these, there's just a lot of business owners that are just so aloof that it's going to take time for them to catch on. If you think about it, the first businesses started having websites mid to late 90s, right? But there was a whole bunch that just didn't, they just weren't even in the game. They're thinking Yellow Pages. They're thinking traditional advertising. They weren't in the game. And it took a solid 10 years for every single business to say, you don't have a business unless you have a website. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It took about 10 years. And so that's why I would expect we've got 10 years to where we have just complete full adoption, where everybody is that goes into business, that has a business, is just obsessed with integrating AI into the mix the entire time, right? Just like today, we're pretty obsessed with the digital for the most part, even though there's still laggards. I mean, heck, I still go speak at conferences and people brag to me that they're spending $500,000 a year on TV. And I'm just like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And they're like a small business, and they're doing like, $10 million a year, and they're bragging to me about spending $500,000 on TV. Like, that still happens in 2024. That's what's so crazy. But what's interesting to me, Chris, is I don't really have these conversations with most people, most agencies. Nobody really wants to have the conversation. And so I think there's certainly like this like dearth of intellectual conversation that's happening with this in the agency space, but just goes back to everybody's, trying to protect what's on their plate. And it's just not how I roll. I'm just not really interested in that. I don't want to be Kodak.
Well, I mean, it's the AI paradox, right? Like, again, where they're, even if they do want to start including AI and just focus on what is on their plate, I mean, going back to whether you're adding AI to or building from, a lot of agencies, if they're not rethinking just the entire approach for being an agency and what that actually means in the future, like, it's a irrelevant conversation because they're going to be gone and by next year, or the year after.
I knew a content house out of New York City. They weren't overseas. They're out of New York City. They had 250 employees a year and a half ago. And today they have like 15. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just do the math, people. You think it's not coming for you too? It's coming for my agency. It's coming for mine. I know it's coming for yours. So there's no question of if it's coming. And this is the pride cycle, just sitting there, folks denying, saying, there's always going to be a place for. The problem is they don't know what they don't know, right? So when somebody says there's always going to be a place for like human interaction and engagement, well, what happens when you can't tell the difference? I do think we're going to see live events increase in significance and popularity in the coming years.
Just because of that need for connection?
Yeah, like skin-to-skin experiences. Mm-hmm. I see that coming into play. And so that one, as a speaker, that's one's going to serve me pretty well, especially as a pretty engaging speaker. But in terms of what would be 90% of the current things agencies do, you ain't going to be making money on that in 5 to 10. You ain't going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess at Impact, how are you kind of shifting things within your own team's competencies, right, for the things you're developing them in, the different things you're just focusing on in order to impact your offer? How has that shifted, I guess, for you guys?
Well, we've created, we've had quite a few internal conversations and trainings on the importance of getting in the sandbox, playing in the sandbox of AI, of becoming a multiplier of your time in your production, to consistently look for ways within your own job that you can leverage AI. In fact, the point that we've made to the team, and I have no problem saying this, and people will be annoyed with hearing this, but if someone refuses to use AI and to find out how to become more efficient, well, then they're not going to have a place on our team. They're just not going to have a place, because that means, they're you know, they're the person that's, you know, holding on to the horse and buggy, and we can't afford to do that because the world won't allow for that. So even though it's nice and it's romantic, the market's not going to be there for that. And so we're going to have to adjust a lot of things as an agency. And so we are absolutely talking about that. But I think the other big shift that we've made that I don't really know of many agencies that are doing this is we're really actively teaching our clients AI. We've even created GPTs that we use to better serve our clients, and we're showing those to clients. So somebody produces a piece of content right now, we have GPTs that we've created that help us vet those on as a phase one vetting. And we're not replacing a human with that, but what it's doing is it's one more safeguard in the system that ensures utmost quality control of the stuff that, you know, our clients are producing and that we're checking off. And so we're very transparent in what we're doing with AI, openly talking about it. And, you know, you see how I am. I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm kind of like the brand ambassador or whatever of the agency, you know, and I'm not shying away from anything, talking about anything online, just like I'm not shying away from this right now. I mean, there's going to be people that listen to this, Chris, and that are going to be offended. And I'm not sure if they're going to be offended at what I said or just offended with the fact that they don't want to accept reality. I'm not sure what it is. You know, or with the fact that I'm not emotional about it, like I'm not, you know, wailing and gnashing of teeth. But I'm not one to kick the pricks and say, oh, geez, you know, woe is us. You know, in 2008, when I almost lost my swimming pool company and everything went south of the economy, I learned real quickly, it just, nobody cared. Nobody was going to save me if I was just going to sit there and complain about the market and complain about the industry. I was either going to save the business and think outside the box, or we were going to die and I was going to file bankruptcy and the company was going to be gone. Those were my choices. Nobody cared. Nobody was there to save. The only people that cared were the people directly tied to the company. And so, you know, that's why I'm able to just look at, you know, I'm able to look at things differently than a lot of other agencies necessarily can or would, because I've been through that deep, deep struggle.
So you talk a lot about trust. I think I've heard you say multiple times that trust is the currency of all business. You talk about the trust gap. They Ask You Answer is, I think, set up ideally to build trust through the content process, right? Yeah. So now in a world where people are going to be distrustful and they're kind of leading with skepticism of everything they're seeing online, how are you kind of getting in front of that to be able to build the trust initially so that people just associate your brand with something they can trust?
Yeah. This is obviously, I mean, it's something I've been thinking a lot about this, because we're, you know, quickly coming to a place where just nobody knows if anything is real. That is really, really crazy. I mean, that is just really, really crazy. I've got a couple different YouTube channels, and one is a fishing channel. And I'm telling you what, for the first time, I'm starting to see people say on some of my like videos, I don't think that's real. I'm like, what do you mean that's not? What do you mean that's not real? Right? I mean, it's crazy. But this is like, this is what's happening already. And so we got some interesting times ahead. I don't think people mind AI. I think you just have to be honest when you're using it to represent a person. I think that's one of the biggest keys is representing a person and representing, you know, like a sentient, like thinking human being. That's a thing that you got to be very, very careful about. I'm not going to sit there and say I used AI if I am, you know, maybe changing the background of an image. Nobody does that as it is. You know, we've had thumbnails that we were doing that for on YouTube for 10 years. But when it comes to tricking the audience, that's where I have problems. Tricking them to think that there is a human there when it's not. You know, that's when we have some issues, and that's what we've got to be careful of. But yeah, I think this, like, this whole trust gap, I think is going to be big going forward. We're nothing we see from a media perspective online, will we be able to say that's definitely true? Everything from world news to politics to, you know, what you're seeing on YouTube, we won't know if it's true. And that's a little bit sad, because it almost kills the imagination. I'm not sure what to do about that. And I hope there is a way to have some true gauges or verifiers of truth or AI generated, synthetically generated content. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right. So I'm curious why people thought your fishing channel was using an AI. Were they just jealous of the size of your catch?
Well, in the case of my channel, there's two reasons why we as a society are going to think everything's fake online. The first one is because AI could make it look fake, potentially. Mm-hmm. The second one is because they're thinking it's staged, right? That, oh, they created that. It's not real, because they were looking for some clicks. They were looking for some views. Mm-hmm. So I had a video on my fishing channel where we hooked up with a massive fish and we got spooled, which means the fish took the entire spool of line and just took it. I don't know if it was a whale that we caught. I don't know what it was, but it was just crazy. And it all happened so fast that before we could even try, in the process of trying to turn the boat around, it happened so fast we couldn't do it. Fastest I've ever seen anything like it in my life. Suddenly you got people saying, not real. I can tell. And of course my response is, you're an idiot. Because I've got footage of 10 other different angles of this moment, and you're sitting there thinking we're doing it for clicks, but this is like the new reality that we're going to be dealing with. So there's going to be a lot of like wonderful creative stuff that people produce that's not staged, but is going to be labeled as fake news, fake moments, fake content.
Right. So I've been reading Jared Fuller's new book, Nearbound, and he very quickly is making a case for how we used to be, you know, like an oil-driven economy, moved into like the data economy. And so like those who were investing in each of those ended up making a lot of money during it. But the case that he's making now is that we're moving into a trust economy, and the companies that are able to build the most legitimate trust are going to be the ones that are the most successful in the future. And I think a lot of the, I wouldn't say dishonest participants in all of this, but the people who are just seeking the clicks and stuff are going to be the first ones to try getting, you know, using AI to just be disingenuous on some of these in order to drive those, rather than those creatives who are actually trying to build a legitimate brand that is able to help people to solve a very specific problem and create those results that businesses need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think though that it's going to be harder and harder to build an invincible brand going forward. And I think the reason is because there's a certain, not to get too like, I don't know, esoteric here, but I think there's a growing portion of modern day mob members online on various sides of the aisle that feel like it's their job that when a person or an entity grow in popularity, and start to have significant influence, potentially influence that goes against what they might wish, they want to tear them down. They want to tear them down. And so, I mean, I just think that's, once again, not to be depressing, but I see in many ways going in that direction. And it's going to make brands really, really gun shy. You will not be able to build an effective brand in the future if you can't handle falsehoods being thrown at you all the time. Mm-hmm. Thought leadership comes with a toll,
a price tag. Thick skin requirement.
Very much so. And, you know, as a pool guy, I was probably one of the first, I might've been the first digital thought leader ever in swimming pools. Like there was thought leaders in the conference world there, but in terms of online, I was probably the first one ever. And, you know, I was a major influencer and I got attacked hard. I got attacked by some of these big manufacturers because I was the small guy. I was like the Ford dealer. And now all of a sudden you got this little Ford dealer in Virginia that's affecting all these other major automotive manufacturers around the world. That's what it was like for me. And to this day, it's to a degree, it's like that. And so not everybody's built for that. And so there's going to be a lot of people that want to become thought leaders and want to build their brand. And that's, they go hand in hand, and they're going to quickly crumble because they're going to get pushed. They're going to get attacked online. And that's a bummer, but that's also going to be a part of this new economy. And so because trust is going to be, you know, such an imperative for many companies, there's going to be like, do you know how like SEO was a big deal for marketing, right? And, and so what a lot of companies did is they pointed a lot of, they did a lot of black hat SEO techniques to kill the search rankings of their competitors.
Right.
And I'm sure you've heard of that, Chris, right? Mm-hmm. So that was like modern day digital warfare. Mm-hmm. I would expect that to happen in many ways when it comes to that trust equity that brands have built. There's going to be like just nefarious groups that could be competitors, what have you, that just try to take them down, you know. And you actually see that all the time. Even it has already started.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I think so. Business by nature is a zero sum game, right? Someone has to, at the end of the day, win. But I think there's still a place for people to lean into the positive sum game side of this, where we can all grow. Like, I mean, and they ask you answer style, right? Who is this brand the best fit for? Like, it doesn't mean you need to serve everybody. So why don't I can create content and promote you, but I'm going to point out who you're the best fit for so that those people can find you. And it's like, I feel like the same thing can happen with AI. All that, we just need to be able to lean into that side in a world that's becoming probably more polarized on everything.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I think there's so much to be said for that mentality of there's room on top for everyone. Mm-hmm. I've always felt that way. I've always felt that way with other agencies. But not everybody feels that way. They come from more of a scarce mentality, right? And so because of that, it can really cost them. And it costs everybody. Everybody loses when there's such a scarcity mindset that exists within an industry. I've seen it affect the tire industries because, let me give you an example, in the fiberglass pool industry, there's like 12 main manufacturers. For the most part, they don't communicate with each other. So what happens? It stifles innovation because they think that, oh, gee, I don't want to share anything proprietary with you. I'm not saying they're all like bad agents, but there's a lot of bad agents. Because of the fact that they don't have this more of like this open source, let's raise all boats mentality.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's go back a little bit. Since you brought up your days of starting to build up this thought leadership, but also just staying up late, writing blogs at your kitchen table. if you had to kind of relive that with all the technology and advantages that we have now, how would you approach it?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I did pretty dang good for the time period. Mm-hmm. Then, if I was going to start new today, I would latch on to the trends that I'm seeing today, you know, which is I would go all in with vertical video today. 3 years from now, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be saying to somebody, but I think the premise of building your brand, it's only going to grow in significance. Difference was when I started in 2009 with They Ask You Answer, my swimming pool company, it was like I knew if I just could dominate with text and video on my own website, I could build an extraordinary brand. I could drive incredible trust, traffic, leads, and sales. And that's what I did. I didn't do any social media because I thought it was a waste of time. And it would have been for me because I didn't need it. And it was a distraction. I couldn't do that today. Today, I would have to lean into social. I couldn't expect to get it all from search today because it wouldn't be, you know, a viable, you know, it had a 15-year really incredible run, but that's not going to, you can't work like that. That's the blockbuster way, right? And so that's why if I had to start again today, I would just say, okay, we're a media company. We just sell pools. Everybody clear on that? We're a media company. We just sell pools. All right. Knowing that, we got to go all in on producing media. What's the media we're going to focus on? Well, we're going to focus on video. What type of video? We're going to focus on vertical video mainly. Right. That's what we're going to just drive home. And I would be producing multiple a day. Mm-hmm. You know, if I wasn't producing at least one a day, that would be a lazy, bad day for me. That's where I am.
All right. Well, lots of great insights in this conversation. I got two more questions for you.
Sure.
With the first being, what book, and I'm going to caveat this, besides your own, would you recommend every agency owner pick up?
Oh, man. I think that Challenger Sale would be a good one. Mm-hmm. I would actually, you know, recommend some type of sales book just because a lot of them are really, a lot of agencies really struggle on the selling side of things. Mm-hmm. And they could really improve on that quite a bit. I'm always though going to recommend Good to Great by Jim Collins. I think it was one of the great works of, you know, of the 20th century. Well, I guess it was 21st century. In terms of like a business book, I think Jim Collins is the great business mind of this time period. And, you know, he doesn't just produce books because he's got a contract to produce books. He produces books that are worthy to be produced. And they're landmark books, generally speaking. And so Jim's a really, really special guy.
Awesome. All right. And then last question, where can people find you?
Well, currently the best place you could probably find me is on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active over there and people tend to enjoy my content. But if you're listening to this right now, and if you want to reach out to me, you can email me marcus@marcussheridan.com. That's an easy one to remember. marcus@marcussheridan.com. And of course, you know, I speak on this stuff. I do workshops and trainings on this. So if you're listening to this and you want some help and guidance in this arena, reach out. We'll have a conversation about it. I can certainly help you or at least point you in the right direction.
Awesome. All right, Marcus, thanks for joining.
My pleasure.
That's the show, everyone. You can leave a rating and review, or you can do something that benefits you. Click the link in the show notes to subscribe to Agency Forward on Substack. You'll get weekly content, resources, and links from around the internet to help you drive your agency forward.